Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, it is always a pleasure to talk to her, is poet and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher. And we're talking about her new collection that just came out, titled Brazen. Alexis, welcome back to the show. It is always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, when I read the title of this book, I said there couldn't be a more apt title for a collection of your poetry.
Thank you.
I meant that in an absolutely positive way. Brazen has so many connotations, and it actually has, it brings up a lot of memories. Like, brazen's the kind of thing when I was a kid and there was a teenage person, usually a woman, who was really acting out, as they said, they used to say, she would be termed by her parents brazen. And just the title of your book really brought back all these weird associations from the 50s and the 60s to that word. What does the word mean to you?
That's an interesting question. I think it means just flat out balls to the wall. Let it all show up and see what sticks to the wall. I don't know.
The devil take the hindquarters.
Thank you. Exactly.
And I do associate that with your outlook. And the other thing that came up to me is I really started thinking about you as a noir poet. And I never thought of that before until this collection, although your entire oeuvre sort of seems to make that, because the poems are classically Southern California in not an obvious way, not in a didactic way, but they definitely feel and sound noir. Is that a safe thing to think about in relationship to your work? I don't want to pigeonhole you.
No, pigeonhole me away. Noir is perfect. There's a dark humor in noir.
Yeah.
That I think people, you know, oh, it's poetry or oh, it's noir and it should be serious. Oh, no. You know, it's playful. I think I'm a very funny writer.
You are. But you're funny dark. Come on, Alexis. You're funny dark, not funny light.
Okay. I'll give that to you.
Yeah. And it's also erotic noir, too. It's not, yeah. There's no vanilla sex in your poem.
Not in this book, no. Probably not in any book.
First of all, would that
I shy away from vanilla, you know?
I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. Your sex, when you talk about it, and I don't want to say warn, but I want to tell audience listeners that be prepared, because there's graphic sex, not in every single poem, but a lot of it, and it's sometimes can be very transgressive. But it's also, and this is why the noir comes up, it's always associated with some doomed aspect of relationships.
Yeah, like most relationships are doomed.
You're happily, you're in a happy relationship right now. And that's the thing that a lot of people may not realize. You're happy.
I am very happily married to my third husband.
The first two didn't work out too well.
Well, the first two were just practicing, as a friend of mine noticed one day. But this marriage is fabulous. He's my equal. He's my better in many ways. And we just celebrated 20 years of marriage. So I guess.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I never thought my other two didn't even add up to 10 together. So
well,
things are getting better.
The great thing about this collection is there's a whole series of poems about him.
Yes.
And there are what? Each one's a different part of his body.
Well, yeah. His hitchhiker thumbs and his symmetrical hernia scars. And,
my favorite was the deviated septum.
I had been asked by a guest editor to a publication that shall remain nameless to write 6 poems they wanted to feature me in their next edition. And I'm like, any you know, things I should know about not going to certain places, is erotica okay? He said, we know what you write, go ahead. So I wrote those 6 odes to my husband's particular body parts, and I sent it to the editor, and he said, these are great. I said, you better check.
Did you really read them?
Did I really read them?
No, did he really read them? That's always the worry.
I don't know. I do not know, because he got back to me shortly afterwards and said, I'm sorry to say this, but they said it's a no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Hadn't they read your past works?
Well, one would assume. The editor that asked me did. I guess the publisher was a little off put. They ended up being published somewhere else from a guy I really, his name is Roderick Bates, and he has a very off-center and terrific little literary magazine, not little, called The Rat's Ass Review.
Wow. And I've not heard of that.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah,
He's very in your face, and a number of actually very successful and literary friends of mine turned me onto it. And he'd been interviewed recently on which poets he liked, and he said, well, I like this one and that one and anything by Alexis Rome Fancher. So I figured I'll send him anything. And he wrote me back right away. He said, I will publish it, but I have to have all six. I'm like, go.
Yeah, because it's definitely a of a piece. When I read those, that was a group that go together. Let me ask you, what did he think of them?
My husband?
Yeah,
Well, he knew the job was dangerous when we got married, and he knew very much who I am. It was very funny, because one of my best friends, when I decided to find my true love, she was over at my house, and I had all these beautiful naked pictures that I'd shot of this absolutely gorgeous woman whom I was working with at the time. And my friend walked over and she said, well, if you want to find a really good guy, you're going to have to put all of these away. And I looked at her and I said, that's not the guy for me.
Right.
So my husband, my boyfriend, my new whatever at that time, came to my house the first time, walked right over to those paintings and portraits. And he said, oh my God, these are brilliant. These are fantastic. Did you photograph this? I said, yeah, I think you're a keeper, you know?
Well, you can tell him I like the deviated septum the best of them. But they're all good. They're all good. They're all good. I want to ask you, the other thing I've noticed about your poems over the years is there, within a lot of the poems, there are phrases, almost like punchlines or memorable lines. For instance, when I asked him to turn me on, he said, sometimes the person you take a bullet for is the one behind the gun. And there's loads of other lines like that, which are just so memorable. Does sometimes the line come before the poem and you create the poem to end with that line?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I'll hear something I'm a big fan of you know, like Forensic Files and 48 Hours of, you know, I like crime and I like crime shows. So for me, I think that line I actually picked up from, Homicide Detective or something?
Yeah.
And when I hear a really good line like that, I'm not, you know, dumb. I'll write it down. I'll steal it. Why not? Yeah.
And that's a great way to sort of clue and sort of start the poetic juices running.
Well, for that poem in particular, because it was a poem I wrote out of memory of this one first boyfriend, first love who kept showing up. And, you know, it took me a while to realize how really toxic he was.
Yeah. And actually, that's a sub-theme of many of your poems, is being in toxic relationships and then ending it. In Pas de Deux, another line, she said, tell me one thing that doesn't end badly.
And
that sort of just brought me up short.
Well, you start thinking and you can't remember anything.
That's the bad part. I don't want my mind to go there. Thank you, Alexis. But again, these kinds of lines are sprinkled throughout your poems. Do you get fan mail?
I do.
I dare ask what it's like?
Very respectful. 99% of the time. Very respectful.
Great.
there's that 1% where someone will write, you know, I write erotica, I write between the lines, and then there are people who write the lines, which
okay.
that to me is pornographic. Don't tell me how, just write the space around it, you know.
Now, has any of your books been banned? Because that seems to be a thing that's going on now.
I'm waiting for that.
You know, it's funny. A lot of these poets and stuff like that, I don't think any of their books have been banned yet. But it's only a matter of time. I mean, everything else is being banned. And you're not anybody until finally you get banned.
Well, I saw a wonderful little cartoon, and it had a bunch of books, and it said the caption was banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, books, and the caption below was, I'm with the band.
Yep. Yep.
Which I thought was pretty right on. I get all sorts of weird mail, though. Someone's going to expose me for masturbating on the internet, to porn sites, which, you know, I don't look at. I mean, I almost never read erotica. I just want to have it bubble forth for me rather than being something that I read somewhere else, and, you know.
Well, the interesting thing is you do write erotica, but you don't write typical erotica at all. I mean, it's this is within the context of the poem that you're writing is when it occurs, and therefore it obviously is justified, and it also adds a lot to the tone of the poem. Could you read a poem now? Well, I want to see if we can stick in two or three poems tonight, because people really need to hear you.
Thank you. I'd like to start with Midnight in the Backyard of Lust and Longing. The sapphists are at it again. Screw use ricochet off our common walls. Invectives landmine my window. You cheating bitch! Like clockwork, this drunken Friday night climax to their ceaseless lover's quarrel. I'll kill you, I hear the big one growl, and then the smash plates, the screams. By the time the cops arrive, it's a full-out brawl. The two women spilling from their back door, tussling across the no-man's land between their tiny backyard and mine. Worse than animals. This time it's Holly, the younger one, dragged into the patrol car, yellow hair wilding, small hands cuffed behind her back, kicking at the cops in those Daisy Dukes, an army jacket waving her silhouette. More clothes than she had on the last time the cops rolled up, or the time before. It's almost dawn, and the trees shiver in the fog. Raccoons slink through the tall grass. Marie, Holly's better half, paces the yard in the blue bathrobe and slippers, smoking a cigarette, sobbing as the cops jam her lover into their car. Watch your head, she cries, and flings herself across the yard, lunges for Holly through the glass. Baby, baby, she sobs, the reason for their discord forgotten. Holly mouths a sloppy kiss. Marie opens her robe, presses herself against the glass. Can you believe it? I would give anything to be loved like that.
I love that poem. And that's one of the things, it's a very urban poem too. And when you write like that, in a poem like that, it's positively cinematic. Like that's like the storyboard for a movie scene.
Well, I'm a visual artist, I think, as well as a poet. And I think that kind of comes together for me quite often in my writing. I like to set a scene. I like to have players.
Yeah.
I like to see what they're going to do. Sometimes, you know, and sometimes Holly will surprise you, right?
You take a lot of urban photography, too, as you have in the past. And it's always scenes, again, that are there's people involved in them. You sort of write a script in your head when you see those kinds of pictures. Your photography has really developed incredibly. So have you shown your photographs?
Not recently. Yeah. they've been in, you know, I've had spreads in magazines and lit mags and such.
These are your photographs that illustrate Brazen, right?
Right.
For some reason, I can recognize your style no matter what you're photographing. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I like that. You know, maybe like Ouija or some of the big time, you can kind of, oh, that's an Alexis photograph. Nice. Thank you. That's very nice.
Now, you've taken a lot of sort of portrait photographs of the poets who come through the area that are just stunning. They're really gorgeous. Are those ever going to come together as a book?
Actually, it's nice that you asked. I am working with Eric Morago at...
I've interviewed Eric. Eric's a great guy.
Yes, he is, at Moontide.
Yep.
And we had been talking about this, doing a book of Southern California poets for several years, and it looks like it'll be coming out end of this year, beginning of next year. It's the one that's up right now. I'm doing a couple of books, and that's one that I'm thrilled about. I can't wait to share that book and have those pictures, those portraits.
They're really animated. there's stuff. It seems like you've worked a relationship with the sitter, and mm-hmm. they're revealing a lot in the photographs that you take of them.
Well, thank you. Many years ago, a woman, a poet that I photographed, when she got the photo, she said, "Oh my God, this looks like what I think I look like on a very good day." And that has stuck with me, and that to me is the highest praise.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight, always a pleasure to hear from her, is poet and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher. And we're talking about her new collection. It's really brilliant. Titled simply, Brazen. Some of the references in your poems in this collection are really fascinating to me. And in one of the poems, you talk about someone's killing peacocks. That's actually something that's gone on, because I actually did an interview with somebody who wrote a book about peacocks. This was like last year. And he had a mm-hmm. whole chapter on the weird murders of the peacocks in Southern California.
It's a fact. You know, and some people like, just, you know, they're loud.
Some people think it's like a simile or a metaphor, but it's actually news reporting.
A lot of those kind of poems, like that one, come from me reading Next Door. You know, Next Door San Pedro, Next Door Torrance, my South Bay kind of neighborhood. And finding a line and running with it and creating a story around the line. You never know where a poem's going to come from or where it's going to land, right?
You have to live in an interesting place, though.
Well, let's hope that my next move will be interesting as well. Who knows?
Well, you're perpetually interesting, but you need to bounce it off something else.
Thank you.
You know, we'll see. The desert could be seriously interesting in a really weird way. It could,
well, yeah.
It could get really like biblical.
Thanks. I'm gonna put that in my pipe and smoke it. You know.
You also have a great reference to Leonora Carrington in Hyena.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know of her, which is really a shame. But she was a brilliant painter, one of the great surrealists.
She's been a favorite of mine for a very long time, and I sometimes write with a partner, not in that we're writing to the same thing or working on the same thing, but that we all sort of work, create something, and then get together in the following week and you know, critique it. And that, in particular, seemed to keep coming back up, you know?
And so for some reason, she's going through a renaissance right now, her work and her interest in her work. But at the time, of course, the surrealists were notoriously sexist. And she didn't get the credit due. And when you go back and look at her work, it is out there. It's great.
Oh, it's freaking brilliant. She makes me insanely creative to read her work. That whole poem was written about that painting of hers.
Yeah.
And I just started looking at the painting and reporting almost what I saw and maybe what her answers might have been. You know, she's a kind of brazen poet and brazen painter, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Yeah. And also, there's a great reference to Anna Akhmatova, the complete poem.
Oh, yes, with the Russian waitress.
Oh, you want to read that poem?
I shall.
I fell in love with that waitress.
Oh, thank you. I did too. And the sad part was that shortly after this happened, the landlord decided he could get more money from someone else, kicked the Oxford girl out of there, and to this day, it's still vacant.
Oh, my God.
I know. Kind of puts a sad ending to that. This one is called To the Russian Waitress at the Yorkshire Grill Who Reads Akhmatova on Her Break. She's a slow-eyed Madonna in a black uniform, refilling napkin holders, topping off salt shakers, funneling ketchup from one half-full bottle to another. I, among the faithful, come to worship at her station, always sitting in her section. I'm convinced she's secretly the Virgin of Fyodorovskaya, venerated icon of the Upper Volga, the way she must have looked first thing in the morning, brewing coffee, sans Byzantine jewels, and heavy crown. She's the patron saint of diners, the dispenser of special orders, shimmering behind the counter, a saint tethered to the linoleum by tired boots and chipped formica. When she takes my order, I bow my head, genuflect, her tangled, familiar accent, a benediction. When she sees me eye her worn paperback peeking out of her pocket, the complete poems of Anna Akhmatova, she fingers the author's cover photo with reverence. I want to remove the pins from her hair, loosen the tight bun, let the blunt wisps fall to her chin, narrowing her high cheekboned visage. I want to worship at the point of her lips, nuzzle at her neck's altar. I want to slip her uniform off her shoulders, bury myself in her Russianness, pull her down next to me in the booth, feed her bits of brisket, dill pickle, baklava, give her sips of my tea. You're beautiful, I'll tell her, but she'll shake her head. She has no faith in platitudes. I'll take her photo when she's not looking, print it as proof of faith, an 8x10 glossy, then bring it to her, an offering. I, too, am Russian. On my father's side, I'll say, I, too, carry Akhmatova in my pocket. It will be the first time I've seen her smile.
Phew. It's a wonderful poem.
Thank you. She was a wonderful waitress.
I guess so. It's like, yeah, if you get a poem written about you, you got to be doing something right.
Well, one would hope, or she'd be terrible and be the villain.
Well, that reminds me, there is a poem in here, and we've talked about the poems that you would read over the air. And I thought that you're right. There's a lot of humorous edge. It's edgy humor, but it's situational humor. It's about eating seafood really far from the ocean.
Something you'd never want to
don't
do.
Ever do that. Could you read that? Because we just have a little bit of time left. I want to hear that poem.
Sure. Actually, this is, you know, quote unquote, when people come up to you in a reading or come up to me in a reading, and invariably they'll tell me some deep, dark secret from their past that mirrors one of mine. Or they'll tell us about their first time or, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, this one is called 82 Miles from the Beach. We ordered the lobster at Clear Lake Cafe. Please. The neon flashes lobster and fresh. The parking lot is crowded. We've been driving since dawn. The lobster must be good here, you say. The harried waitress seats us near the kitchen. She's somewhere between 40 and dead. I show you the strand of her coarse black hair stuck between the pages of my menu. Undeterred, you order the lobster for two. I investigate the salad bar. Yellow grease pools and the dregs of blue cheese dressing. A small roach skims the edge. Before the waitress can bring the clam chowder, I kick you under the table. I'm sorry, I say brightly. We've changed our minds. I'm responsible for the look of defeat on her face. As I head out, you stop and leave a 20 on the table. I have never loved you more.
It's really a romantic poem, too.
Yeah, see? It's all in how you read it.
But, right, but seriously, it's a warning for everybody. Don't ever, don't even think about it.
Mm, yeah, what does Annie Lamott say? If you'd wanted me to write better, write well of you, you would have treated me better.
I think it was the roach on the salad bar that sort of was the clincher for me. And then when you wrote the line about the clam chowder, I went, I can only imagine. Your only hope is, because I've eaten in places like this, and it's like, wow. Wow.
It was there. It was, you know, and I thought as it happened as we drove away, I thought, I'm going to write about this.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And it's like your poems are so, they make the scene alive in your mind. It's just, I mean, I visualize the entire scene. We're completely out of time, Alexis. It goes by really fast when we're talking. My returning guest tonight is poet and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher. And we're talking about her new collection, Brazen. Be sure to pick it up. Alexis, it's a pleasure as always.
Such a pleasure to talk with you, Mark. Thank you so much.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.